You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Why has a seemingly meek and mild-mannered family practiced dentist, a real family man with a wife and six children, his practice nestled there in Summerbrook Dental in Aurora, Colorado? How has he and his whole family landed in the headlines? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and SiriusXM 111. Take a listen to our friends at GMA.
James, a dentist at Summerbrook Dental Group in Aurora, seen here in this promotional video.
My approach to dentistry begins with sincerely listening to the patient.
His patients say they relied on him to ease their anxiety.
He always made sure that I was okay and comfortable. And now I think my anxiety is even more heightened because I'm like, who do I trust?
So there you hear him in an ad. My approach to dentistry begins with sincerely listening to the patients. And he has a huge dental practice. And at home, everything seems to be even keeled. Take a listen. You were hearing our friends at GMA. Now, Crime Online.
James Craig joined Summerbrook Dental in Aurora, Colorado in 2006 after getting a degree from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. James and his wife, Angela, are the proud parents of six children between the ages of 8 and 20, five girls and a boy. Angela loves posting pictures on social media showing the family as they're camping or mountain biking, traveling, and visiting theme parks. Neighbors think highly of the family, and friends admire how they balance work and a very large family.
Can I just say I have hard enough of a time with two children, two guinea pigs, a cat and a dog, and my 92-year-old mother living with us? Jen Smith joining me, chief reporter at DailyMail.com. Jen Smith, thank you for being with us. Six children. Wow. I know what I went through to just have the twins. So these are all from the same mom and dad, right? They're all their bio children, six of them.
They sure are, Nancy, all from the same parents. We know that Craig and his wife, Angela, were married for over 20 years. They were together, you know, in the 90s, and they created this beautiful family. And she, by all accounts, is the mother to end all mothers. Loving, happy family, happy children. Seemed like everything was perfect.
Okay, I'm actually, as you're talking, I'm looking at Angela Craig, and they're standing out in front of what I think to be their home. It looks like kind of a Tudor-looking home, and it's big. And I see one child on the front steps way in the background. So seemingly, they have this incredibly happy life going on. Now I see him. He's got Valentine's box and balloon at work from his wife. You know, Dr. Chloe Carmichael is joining us, clinical psychologist and best-selling author of Nervous Energy, Harness the Power of Your Anxiety. Okay, I need to read that. You can find her at drchloe.com. I need to read that. Do you have it in audio by chance?
As a matter of fact, I do, Nancy. I'll definitely send you one.
Because every time I'm working out, walking, or running, this probably is not healthy, and that's not a question, okay? But I make business calls and work calls or listen to a book the entire time. I don't like to just walk around and marvel at nature like some people do. Dr. Chloe, can I talk to you about the pressure of being Insta-perfect and Facebook-perfect, which we are not. But every time I try to take a picture, it's usually Lucy, of her, like, the other day, Dr. Chloe, she made a slew of homemade cupcakes, and she made the icing, and she tinted it green for something to do with ecology and Habitat for Humanity. She's very involved with Habitat for Humanity at her school. I said, Lucy, I'm so proud of you. Let me take a picture. She's not even a smile. She didn't even look up. She goes, don't post it. Just like that. I don't get it. I guess she didn't want to be judged. I don't know. Why does everybody have so much pressure to look perfect on Insta and Facebook, everywhere else?
Well, Nancy, there's an interesting thing in psychology called social comparison.
Hold on, I wasn't ready to take notes yet. Social comparison. Okay, go ahead. What
right,
is that?
Right. And yeah, well, it's, you know, as it sounds like, we compare ourselves keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. And to a certain degree, having a sense of how others are doing and how we're doing can be helpful. But with social media, it can really go haywire because we get a hit of dopamine, kind of the reward chemical in our brain.
Wait. You're like warp speed ahead of me. Dopamine. What?
Dopamine. The reward chemical in your brain.
I'm so not a doctor. Dopamine, the reward chemical.
Let me put it this way. When you get money, you feel good. When you get a compliment, you feel good.
When I get money, I feel relieved. I'm like, whoo, I can pay the house note again. So dopamine makes you feel high, right?
Yes, yes. And when you see likes on your social media posts, you get dopamine.
I'm sorry, I don't get very many of those, so I don't get a lot of likes.
I don't believe
I get
that.
A
I
lot of things
you,
like
Nancy.
You're ugly. Why are you on TV? Wait a minute. And comparison, you're saying how others are doing. What do you mean by how others are doing? What does that mean?
Well, like you were saying, there's a pressure to feel like you're posting the Insta-perfect or Facebook-perfect life because you see everybody else's, you know, edited, airbrushed photos, and then you feel as if your regular life doesn't compare to everybody else's highlight reel that they're posting.
Interesting. I don't feel any of that. When I look, the few times I look, usually it's when one of your headlines, Jen Smith, on Daily Mail, I see where the Kardashians have been caught doctoring their photos. I don't know why they do that. I met every one of them during Dancing with the Stars when Rob Kardashian was on Dancing with the Stars, and FYI, he's a great dancer. And they're beautiful in person. I mean, their bodies are beautiful, their faces are beautiful, but they're forever being caught. Kind of, what do you say, Jackie, when you try to change your...
Photoshop?
Yeah, Photoshop that. Photoshopping themselves. That's really what I see when I'm reading an article, other people's lives on Insta or Facebook. I don't look at other people's lives. Okay, a couple of times I have looked at the royals. I will admit to that. That's pretty much it. But you know, Dr. Chloe, whenever I do see those things, it makes me feel claustrophobic because it's all about their cars and their homes and their expensive outfits and the cram-packed parties they go to. All of that just makes my skin crawl.
Well, you're in a unique situation, though, Nancy, because you get almost unlimited amounts of public attention. So you probably already have that need completely
not
satisfied.
Not always in a good way, Dr. Chloe. Not always in a good
fair
way.
Fair enough.
I think
enough,
I get my dopamine
part.
From my children and my husband and my little
That's
Methodist
beautiful.
Church
That's
and my mom. And I really mean that. Okay, somehow, I'm going to blame you, Dr. Chloe. We've gotten way out in the weeds. Let's get us back in the middle of the road. Jen Smith, I'm looking at this woman, Angela Craig. She's gorgeous. I'm looking at her right now. Where is she? She is in front of some beautiful blooming azaleas on a stone fence. It's in one of your articles, by the way. And it looks like she's traveling somewhere because she's got her purse slung across the front of her and her sweatshirt is tied around her waist like she's taken it off mid-stride. So we're talking about this family practice in Aurora, Colorado. First of all, Jen Smith, I actually have a close friend in Aurora, Colorado. She was my dive master that taught me how to dive many years ago. And I remember we trained in the pool at the Queens YMCA. So I know a little bit about Aurora. What can you tell me? Big city, rural, suburban? Where were they located? What is this place? His practice is Summerbrook Dental.
That's right. Yeah, Summerbrook Dental. Aurora, Colorado is a really beautiful place to raise a family, Nancy. It's not that big of a city, but it's not too small either. Their home was beautiful. They looked like they had the perfect life. We're talking about a town with not that many people. So the dentist, the family practice, they are well known in this area. They have lots of friends. They have lovely neighbors. And of course, it's the ideal place for these six children to really have a pretty idyllic Colorado upbringing.
I'm looking at their picture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It looks like 5 girls and 1 boy. He looks to be the oldest because he's the tallest. That's not necessarily true. And they're gorgeous. They all have these perfect smiles. I guess with him being a dentist, somebody's had orthodontia. They all look great. It does look like a picture-perfect family. But then Angela falls ill. Take a listen to our friends at GMA.
After multiple recent hospital visits, Angela, again, checked into a hospital Wednesday morning, complaining of a severe headache and dizziness. Around 2 p.m., she had a seizure, her condition rapidly declining. Doctors moving her to the ICU, where she was put on life support before passing away Saturday.
Okay, that's sudden. She goes into the hospital, has a seizure, and dies? She checks in Wednesday morning, complaining of a horrible headache and dizziness. 2 p.m., she has a seizure, and after that, her condition rapidly declines. Doctors immediately moving her to the intensive care unit. She's put on life support before you know it, and then suddenly she passes away. Let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. She's there a little over 72 hours, and she's dead? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here. Our friends and partners at Fox Nation have an exclusive new movie out right now, Murder for Sale. In this new original movie, real estate agent Violet Becker is devastated when her best friend and fellow real estate agent dies at an open house. Violet is suspicious about the circumstances of the death and sets out to investigate. She soon finds herself in unfamiliar territory as she uncovers shocking truths about her friend's life and mysterious death. Starring Caitlin Clark, Julia Benson, and Matt Hamilton, Murder for Sale is available exclusively on Fox Nation. Fox Nation subscribers also have access to all kinds of exclusive programming, including the video simulcast of crime stories, our team's special investigations, original movies like Murder for Sale, and so much more. Sign up for Fox Nation to watch. Just go to foxnation.com. Don't wait. Catch this movie. It's awesome. Go to foxnation.com now to watch.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
She's going from this beautiful photo she posted of her family and herself, and she's dead. Jen Smith, intense. Wait, hold on, Jen. I know you're the chief investigative reporter at DailyMail.com, but I need a medical doctor. And with me is a renowned medical doctor, Dr. Manisha Pandey, chief forensic pathologist for Forensic Pathologists, LLC in Ohio, board certified. And you can find Dr. Manisha at theforensicpathologist.com. Dr. Pandey, I don't get it. The last time I had a severe headache, I had like crazy high blood pressure. She had a severe headache and dizziness and then has a seizure. Now, what could cause an extreme headache and dizziness that puts you into a seizure?
Normally what happens is if you're going to have a headache and dizziness, you probably got, immediately we would think that it's a natural disease process. Maybe she's having a heart event or she has some kind of a history, but it looks like she doesn't really have any kind of history. So maybe she got exposed to something.
I'm having a hard time understanding. Your first thought would be a possible heart problem?
She could have blood pressure, high blood pressure issue, if she has history of hypertension.
Now, question, how would a heart problem manifest in an extreme headache? And why does blood pressure manifest in an extreme headache?
She could be having a stroke.
Okay, wait a minute. I nearly choked on my coffee. Why does high blood pressure give you a headache?
So high blood pressure, you can have increase in blood pressure, and it can cause, increase in your everything which goes into the head and the brain, and you can get a headache if you have a stroke. So if you get a hemorrhagic stroke, then that's when you'll get a headache.
I wonder if that's why they immediately moved her into ICU, because they couldn't relieve the headache. Does high blood pressure also cause dizziness?
It can, because you're having stroke. So what happens is once you have that hemorrhagic stroke, you have got edema, like swelling in the brain, and you can start having dizziness, you can have headache, and those happen quite rapidly, but it's only if you have a hemorrhagic stroke.
When you say hemorrhagic stroke, I'm just guessing, but does that come from the word hemorrhage, which is like a bruise?
Yes, so it basically means bleeding in the brain.
Okay, Dr. Manisha Pandey, you really amaze me, because you can talk about such serious conditions, but the tone of your voice and the way you deliver it, I feel like I'm talking to my sister or a friend. You deliver the news in a very unalarming way to make it easy to understand. I really appreciate this. So all of a sudden, this seemingly super mom ends up in the hospital with extreme headache, dizziness, they don't know what's happening, and they send her to the ICU. To Jen Smith, Chief Investigative Reporter, DailyMail.com, do I have it right so far?
Pretty much. A few other details, though, that I want to point out. When she goes to the hospital and she's presenting with this headache, the dizziness that you mentioned, it isn't the first time that she goes to the hospital, Nancy. Twice before this, it began really on March 6th, she goes to the hospital with the same symptoms. Now, this time, she isn't necessarily checked in. She isn't held overnight. The doctors don't know what's wrong with her, so they send her home. She goes back a few days later, March 9th, same symptoms, nausea, dizziness, headaches, even some vomiting. Again, the doctors can't figure out what's wrong with her. They send her home. And then when she goes back for a third time, that's when she's checked in and her condition deteriorates pretty quickly.
Gosh. So she goes two times before in the weeks leading up to the intensive care and her actually passing away, and they cannot identify it. But Jen Smith, you're telling me there were essentially the same symptoms?
The same symptoms, yeah. She was complaining of having a really nasty headache, like you said. She was also complaining about her eyesight. She was having trouble focusing. She said that she felt tingly. She said that she felt cold. She even mentioned that she passed out in her kitchen. But all of this is unexplained. The doctors cannot figure out what's wrong with her. She's concerned that it could be a sinus infection. Normally, sinus infections are nowhere near as severe as what she was experiencing. And then there's some conversation about maybe she's diabetic. She's 43 years old. You would have thought she might have discovered that already. But no one is able to find an answer for what is causing this otherwise healthy mother of six to be feeling these horrendous symptoms.
So when she dies in ICU, the doctors at the hospital must feel horrible, because she's come to the hospital two times before with similar symptoms, and they send her home unable to diagnose her. That doesn't make sense to me. Dr. Manisha Pandey, for her to be sent home, I would have thought that they would just continue testing until they figure it out.
Yes, so what happens is that you have to have a high index of suspicion when you're treating someone. So if you're not thinking about what could possibly be wrong with the patient, you may not find it. And if they are sort of stabilizing as they are in the hospital, they will be released to go home.
I get it. So they get her seemingly well and send her home. And they're like, wow, I don't know what that was, but she's okay now. So bye. Okay, I kind of understand that. And when you look back, how many times have we looked back and thought coulda, woulda, shoulda? But at the time, they thought they had her stabilized and thought she was just having some episode that's not going to be deadly. And she seems fine and goes back home. But then everything is turned on its head when Angela Craig, this mother of six, suddenly dies unexpectedly in ICU. Take a listen to our friends at KUSA.
Last Wednesday, police say Angela went to University Hospital in Aurora. She complained of a severe headache and dizziness. That same day, Craig's business partner at the dental practice told the nurse he thought Angela had been poisoned. A few days earlier, an employee saw potassium cyanide in a package addressed to Craig. The box was shipped to his dentist office in Aurora. The employee searched potassium cyanide when she learned Angela was sick and realized she had symptoms similar to a poisoning.
Dr. Manisha Pandey joining us, Chief Forensic Pathologist, Forensic Pathologist LLC in Ohio. Poisoning? Well, when you go to the hospital, don't they run a blood panel?
They would do a blood panel. They would do tests for normal things, but for poisoning, depending on what it is, you have to check for specific things, but they're not routinely identified in a routine blood panel.
When you say a normal blood panel, and see, the way that I relate to this is when dealing with a medical examiner, and I say, well, did you test for 1, 2, 3, and 4? And they're like, no. Ask why? And they go, that's not part of a normal blood panel. We'd have to have reason to suspect that we should test for those things. So let me ask you this, Dr. Manisha Pandey, what do they look for in a normal blood panel at the hospital?
So in a hospital setting, usually they'll do a urine drug screen if they're suspecting drugs. And sometimes they'll do the blood test to see whether those drugs are in the system. But normally they would look for opiates or any kind of fentanyl, alcohol, Tylenol levels. So those are the things they're looking for, but they're not really looking for any different kind of poisonings, which if they're not suspicious of them, they won't look for them.
Got it. So she comes in with a headache and dizziness. There's no reason they should think, wow, this lady, this mother of six, has been poisoned. But then the business partner, the dental partner, says, I think she died from poisoning. Okay, take a listen now to our Cut 6. This is Kelly Rinka at KUSA.
Craig's online search history says he looked up how to make poison and top 5 undetectable poisons that show no signs of foul play.
Those are very strong pieces of evidence if in fact they're true and the prosecution can prove it. You don't have to have an eyewitness watch someone slip poison into somebody else's drink or food if in fact the autopsy report shows that the individual died because of poisoning.
Employees said Craig wanted a divorce. He had a romantic relationship with another woman, and it appears he even flew her to Denver while his wife was dying in the hospital.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Craig's online search history says he looked up how to make poison and top 5 undetectable poisons that show no signs of foul play.
Those are very strong pieces of evidence if in fact they're true and the prosecution can prove it. You don't have to have an eyewitness watch someone slip poison into somebody else's drink or food if in fact the autopsy report shows that the individual died because of poisoning.
Employees said Craig wanted a divorce. He had a romantic relationship with another woman, and it appears he even flew her to Denver while his wife was dying in the hospital.
Okay, I hardly know what to say to that. Flew his sex mistress to meet him in Denver while his wife is lying in the hospital dying. And remember, she was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and died on Saturday. So instead of being by her bedside, he's with his mistress having sex in some hotel in Denver. What happened to the happy family we've been talking about and looking at on Facebook? Take a listen to our Cut 8, our friends at crimeonline.com.
While Angela posts happy family photos on Facebook, she shares a very different picture of what's going on in their family with her sister. For years, Angela has been the doting wife, married to the successful dentist with 6 children. But the fact is, Her husband has been addicted to pornography since he was a teenager. He hasn't been a faithful husband. The dental clinic filed for bankruptcy. And even though their finances at the dental office and at home are in dire straits, James recently blew $2,000 on a gambling binge.
I hardly know where to start with that. I'm going to have to dissect that like you would a sentence on the blackboard in the fifth grade. Okay, hold on. Jen Smith, chief reporter, dailymail.com. Where should I start with the porn addiction since high school? How do you get your hands on porn in high school, number one? But that's a whole nother can of worms. Bankruptcy? But what? How many mistresses has this guy had? He's a dentist. I always think of them as so meek and mild.
Well, that's right. And that's certainly how everybody else in the community viewed this man. Like, we were discussing this earlier. He seemed like a family man. Classic case of what goes on behind closed doors, no one knows. And in this case, he seemed to be living a double life.
Wait a minute, right there, Missy. A double, a triple, and a quadruple life. How many mistresses has this guy had? I hope this mistress doesn't think she's special.
Well, I don't think she's going to feel very special now that she knows that he has a long history of having affairs. That's according to his late wife. That's what she told her family. So she's really shaming him from beyond the grave here.
Okay, whoa. There's so many things to look at. Okay, child porn since a teen, been cheating like mad, and filed for bankruptcy? Then, even filing for bankruptcy, he blows $2,000 on a gambling binge? You know, let me go to you, Dr. Chloe. I've been in Vegas for many different events, including like Crime Con. We took our children out there to go hiking and Red Rock, down in the Grand Canyon. I am so not attracted to gambling. I feel like I might as well just hand a guy on the street $5 and just be done with it. You're not going to win. That's how it's set up. So, Dr. Chloe, what is happening with this guy?
Well, it's obviously a real lack of boundaries.
A lack of boundaries. Hold on. Of course, I'm no shrink. You're the shrink. But he's shacked up in a hotel in Denver while his wife's dying in ICU, the mother of six children. He's gone. He's driven his dental practice into bankruptcy. He's had a string of mistresses. He's blown what little money is left after the bankruptcy on gambling, and he's got a porn addiction. Isn't that a little more than lack of boundaries?
The lack of boundaries is just the start of it. It's just the start of it, Nancy. So it's a lack of boundaries as well as a serious issue with objectification and a lack of empathy, which honestly, to me, this all points towards a kind of a psychopathy where there's just a sense of using other people, whether it be objectifying women in porn, whether it be a lack of empathy, obviously, for his wife or for even his children, whose mother is there in the hospital. And then, you know, a lack of boundaries even with his own money and a sense of entitlement that he can file for bankruptcy and then go blow the money gambling, which actually also points to a sense of grandiosity that on some level he may have believed that he was not like everybody else that would just be handing over their wallet and that he could actually just walk in there and fix this. So in very shorthand, I would just simply say all kinds of crazy.
Okay, that part I understood. The rest was kind of fuzzy. Jared Fiorentino is joining me right now. Pennsylvania prosecutor and partner at Pugliese, Finnegan, Schaefer, and Fiorentino. P.S., I think your name should be first. And you can find him on Facebook and Insta at Jared Fiorentino. Jared, can I just read you a text, please? This is what he sends her from his bed with his mistress. I hope the EEG is going okay! Exclamation. I hope you are able to get cleaned up in the other ways that you wanted besides just your hair. I don't know what that means. I'm going to lay down for a while now. Not sure how long. I would think somewhere between an hour and a half and a week should do the trick. She writes back, my brain is normal, so there. I hope you're getting some sleep. I miss you. What? And also, here's another one. I hope you sleep well and start to feel better. I just miss you, and I want to be close to you. I love you so much. I'll talk to you soon, I hope. He's such a liar. He's with his mistress sending these texts. I mean, when you take a case to a jury, don't you just love texts, Jarrett?
Nancy, this case has everything. This guy is financially bankrupt and morally bankrupt. Think about this. He's texting his wife on her deathbed from another bed with another woman. He actually texted her and said, "I'm feeling empathy for you." I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. But looking at what he has said, while she's dying, he's poisoned her and she's dying this painful, slow death. He's telling her he loves her. He's telling her he misses her. He's not by her side. There's a special place in hell for poisoners. And the conversation as she died is so unbelievable. It really, I've never seen anything like this.
Guys, I want to circle back to his Google searches. But first, I want you to hear our cut nine, our friend Alan Gionet at KCNC.
Three times Angie went to the hospital. Doctors had a hard time diagnosing her problems. Some of that time, James Craig was likely with a girlfriend who had flown into town from Austin, Texas. Police believe there was motive and there was evidence on his computer and with staff who found poison. And there are a lot of people simply stunned that the father of six might kill his wife.
She would pretty much just give me anything. That's the kind of person she is.
And that is where our next guest makes his entrance. Former chief of police, Johns Creek, 25 years as a lawman, now private investigator and polygrapher with Lancaster Information Services at lancasterservices.com. Chris Byers, you would have a field day investigating this case. But I want to first start with the computer searches, okay? The wife goes to the hospital three times. On the third time, she dies. They don't know what is happening. They think maybe it's high blood pressure, hypertension. But then the dental partner comes forward and goes, "I think she was murdered. We got a package of potassium cyanide that came to the office addressed to Craig." They immediately get a warrant and go search his computer. And these Google searches are damning. So how do you go from what the dental partner says, he got a package of potassium cyanide? Now, that's something voluntary. You don't have to get a warrant for that. I once had a cop who, I once had a doorman at a big high rise where Elton John used to live, by the way, in Atlanta, that the doorman calls the cops because he thinks a package of cocaine is coming to FedEx to a rich guy up in the penthouse. He calls the cops. In this case, this is where I'm going, Chris Byers. In this case, the dental partner says, "This guy got potassium cyanide." That's a voluntary statement from a civilian. You don't need a warrant for that. But then how do you jump to searching his computer, Chris Byers?
Well, first of all, thank God for that dental partner stepping up and doing the right thing on that. You know, I'm sure the investigators at that point, with everything that they were hearing from the medical staff, medical examiner, and what he's saying, when that lined up, they realized they needed to get a search warrant for everything that they could get on this guy. I mean, computers are just so damning. Search histories, it's just made investigation so much easier. And like you said, it just gave them just all that they needed to show that his motive in this. We already had the affair, and that, you know, he had the opportunity to do it. And you get a hold of those computers, and it's just great investigative tool.
So based on the fact that she's dead, they don't really know why. She's being sent to the medical examiners. And in the meantime, police, based on what the dental partner said, he got potassium cyanide shipped to him at the office. They take that, they get a warrant to search his computers and home. Jen Smith joining us, chief investigative reporter, dailymail.com. What were the searches they found on his computer again?
I think one of them was how to poison someone, how to make poison, and top 5 or top 10 undetectable poisons that people won't be able to find after someone has died and will not signal foul play.
Gosh, I hope nobody looks at my laptop. Because when I write murder mysteries, I'm always looking up how to kill so-and-so. How long does it take for an alligator to kill a person? What's an undetectable drug? Of course, my husband would suspect nothing. But that said, it's not. But when a civilian is looking up undetectable poisonings, guys, there's more. Take a listen to our friends at GMA.
Police zeroing in on her husband. According to the warrant, after his coworker told a nurse that James had ordered potassium cyanide to the office, adding there was no medical reason or purpose to make such an order.
The key is going to be the following. Can they trace whatever killed her to him? Did he order it? Did he pick it up?
And let me ask Dr. Manisha Pandey, what is potassium cyanide?
So potassium cyanide is a salt. And normally, if it is ingested, you can die rather quickly. And it can be taken orally and mixed in stuff. And that's what it is.
Does it have a smell of any type?
It can. So when I've done the cyanide poisoning autopsies, they have bitter almond faint odor in the blood when we do the autopsy. So that's the smell it can have. But when it's a salt, it may not have any taste at all.
It's a white granular solid that looks, as Dr. Pandey has told us, like salt or sugar. And it does have an almond odor. And is it true, Dr. Pandey, that if someone has been poisoned with potassium cyanide, if you smell the mouth of the body soon after death, you can smell an almond smell?
That's correct. You can smell the faint odor of almond smell during the autopsy and from the mouth too.
You may wonder, why do we even have potassium cyanide? It's actually used to extract gold and silver from ore, and it's used in electroplating. And imagine if it's used for that, what it would do to the human body. Now, back to what we know. What is the extrinsic evidence that can prove a case like this? Take a listen to our friends at KCNC.
Internet searches for poisons that left no trace, and orders for arsenic, which he bought online from Amazon, and potassium cyanide, which he had delivered to his dental office, now closed and dark.
And it's too close to home. Too close to home, this happening.
Anna Nibby has been a patient of Dr. Craig for nearly 20 years. Her daughter was in his office on March 9th.
She saw him for that brief time. And he
didn't look good. Something was going on. Had to rush out and take his wife to the emergency room.
Excuse me, Jen Smith, chief reporter, DailyMail.com. Did I just hear he ordered potassium cyanide on Amazon?
He actually ordered arsenic on Amazon. Oh. So not quite potassium cyanide, but not much better either, actually.
On Amazon. I mean, Jarrett Fiorentino, he's got to be kind of smart to get through dental school and build a practice. But really, on Amazon, how many times have Amazon orders been the nail in the coffin?
Yep.
Pardon the pun there. But I mean, we just see Lori Vallow, cult mom Lori Vallow, order her BEACH wedding dress, then get married on a beach in Hawaii in that wedding dress. Except she ordered it on Amazon several weeks before her new husband's wife died. Ouch. Busted. Same thing here. What are these people thinking?
Well, I just think this is another example of these folks think they're smarter than everyone else. He used another computer in the office. That was number one. And he set up a new...
Oh, tricky.
Right. And he set up a new email address called Jim and Waffles, which was the Gmail address where he was ordering a panoply of poisons over the past several days. So he thought he was outsmarting everyone.
Please tell me about the poisons he ordered, Jarrett Fiorentino.
He ordered arsenic, and then he is believed to have ordered an oleandrin poison that was actually intercepted by FedEx prior to the cyanide. So those were the three different times he was ordering poisons to what investigators believe to administer to his wife.
So, wait a minute. So, the arsenic, the oleandrine, which is a poisonous derivative from the oleander plant, and what's the third one?
The third one would be the cyanide.
Great. All online, right?
Yes.
Okay, Chris Byers, don't you just love it when they think they're outsmarting you by coming up with a different name online? Wow, he went to the effort of creating a different Gmail address. Okay, that tricked me.
Yeah, that's great stuff right there. And I think it just goes to what one of the earlier guests talked about, that this guy had grandiose ideas, that he was smarter than everybody else. But if you've ever seen what a phone dump or a computer dump looks like, you get absolutely every bit of information.
I remember a case I covered at Court TV. An allergist would meet up with women under the name Casual Guy 2000. Like, the cops couldn't tell that when his wife killed over. Okay, well, there's more. And what's disturbing is his wife stuck with him, even knowing about many of the affairs, plus, she believed, prior druggings. Take a listen to our friends at GMA.
Police also believe that James was having an affair, even flying a woman out to see him while his wife was dying in the hospital. Family members telling authorities this is not the first time James had tried to poison his wife. And the week before her death, she texted him that her head felt funny and dizzy, then said, "I feel drugged." James replying, "Given our history, I know that must be triggering. Just for the record, I didn't drug you."
Family members claim that Craig had multiple affairs. They also say that the couple was experiencing financial hardship.
And the victim in this case knew it. She knew she had been drugged in the past. Take a listen to KCNC.
Angela Craig told her sister that James had drugged her 5 or 6 years ago. In the affidavit, there are a series of text messages between husband and wife, including one that comes from March 6th, in which Angela texted James she felt drugged after drinking a protein shake that he had given her. Well, he texted back that he said, "Given our history, I know that must be triggering. But just for the record, I didn't drug you."
You know, it seems to me, Dr. Chloe Carmichael, Dr. Chloe, when you know your husband has drugged you in the past, you know he's had multiple affairs, why stay?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nancy. I think a lot of battered women, not that she was battered, but abused women obviously can start to lose their sense of self and lose their self-esteem, and it can be very disorienting. So I think it's important to be mindful of that. Also, with 6 children, I'm sure she'd feel very vulnerable. On the other hand, having 6 children, she needs to be strong. She needs to be a good role model for them. I'm also surprised that she wouldn't even have mentioned at the hospital, when they're all trying to figure out what's wrong with her, to just say, "Hey, would you just mind doing a little screen on me? I actually had an issue with, poison in the past." So I do find that a little puzzling. And I certainly found his remark, I didn't drug you, just for the record, to be the ultimate gaslighting, that he would actually just, come forward with that type of reassurance, when in fact it appears that that's exactly what he did.
I mean, the gambling alone would be enough for me. I mean, you know what? If you can't help me, at least don't hurt me by throwing away all the grocery money at the slot machines.
Amen.
Yeah. Jen Smith joining us, DailyMail.com. This woman tried to hang in there to get her children, all 6 of them, to a point where they were either in or graduated from college. She was just hanging in there, trying to make the best of a horrible situation. And she died an excruciating and painful death. Did you hear what I said about potassium cyanide is used in electroplating and to extract gold and silver from ore? And that's what's put in her body? Can't you just imagine it just eating up her insides?
I mean, it truly one of the most horrific ways to lose your life. And what's so unfathomable is that this was inflicted on this woman by her husband, the father of her 6 kids. I mean, the very fact that he didn't care when she was experiencing these horrendous symptoms, and we see it in these text messages, he was with his mistress. It's just all so disturbing.
Well, they were sharing text messages as her condition deteriorated. And in them, she thanks him multiple times for all of his support. Well, he can think about that behind bars.
Well, Nancy, we have seen Jim Craig appear in court. He has now been formally charged with the murder of his wife, Angela. Now, the next step is his next court appearance. We think that's going to be sometime in early April. We don't yet know how he will answer these charges. He has not entered a plea. Of course, all of that is to come. When he appeared in court, he actually came face to face with two of their six children. They did not look happy to see him, which is obviously not a surprise. When he arrived in court, Nancy, Jim Craig, he held his head down. He looked pretty shamed. He didn't want anyone.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.